Soy gold.
Who's the most fun to drink with of the Republican lawmakers? Todd Alba did decide to text us who's fun to get a drink with in the GOP.
Fantastic.
Todd also confirmed that Robin Voss has virtually no sense of humor.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Should we eliminate income taxes for retirees? What impact would this have on your life? 844-967-2789. Should we eliminate income taxes for people who are 67 and older? I would love to hear from you as far as what benefits it would have for you personally, but also, I guess, the bigger economic reason we should or should not do this, because there, as of this week, there has been a new proposal that promises to do just that. And we briefly touched on it yesterday during Greg's roundup, and I had seen the article, and then I went back and read it, and you know, it's not something that's on its face. I'm like, no, we shouldn't do this. I don't know if it does exactly what it says it will, because, well, here, we'll just back up a little bit before we get into it a little bit. Jane Matnair, you're much closer to retirement age than I am.
That's
and
true.
So is this something that you would, be in favor of?
Well, I have not looked that deeply into it.
Okay.
But of course, when someone tells you, well, we're gonna lower your taxes because you're old, that doesn't seem bad to me.
I don't hate that.
I don't hate that. Honestly. But when we're talking about what you earn, you know, how much you earn and who gets the most savings and things like that, I guess I'm still murky on those details.
Yeah. So would love to hear from you. I guess just on its face, I will get into some of the details that have been released so far. But would love to hear your thoughts on whether or not Wisconsin should eliminate income taxes for retirees. And, you know, I think we have a fair amount of people who listen to the show live who maybe are already retired. So would love to hear from you as far as how much of an impact this would have for you. 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. But basically, more of the details are that two Republican lawmakers released a proposal on Monday that would eliminate nearly all state taxes on retirement income for Wisconsin residents. So the two authors are Representative David Steffen of Green Bay and Senator Rachel Cabral Guevara of Appleton. And it's basically a new optional retirement income tax exemptions for taxpayers 67 or older. Individual filers would be exempt from paying taxes on the first $100,000 of their annual retirement income, while married and joint filers would see a tax exemption for the first $150,000. So like if you have a massive 401k that I guess you're making more than that per year, you would still pay some taxes, but it's on that first $100,000 or $150,000 that would be exempt. And so it's basically tax exemptions for IRAs, 401k plans, 403b plans, pensions, as well as other qualified retirement plans under federal tax codes. And so it should be noted that income is already exempt, like Social Security and military earnings are already exempt from income taxes in Wisconsin. So, and that would, in this bill, those would not go towards the earning caps established in the proposal. So it's basically what you're paying, what the taxes you're paying on your IRAs and 401ks and everything like that as of right now. And so, you know, the arguments for this are, according to the two authors, is that it would retain Wisconsin retirees, by bringing the state in line with neighbors. I guess Illinois, Iowa, and Pennsylvania also don't tax retirement incomes from these retirement plans.
Okay.
And that part I totally get. That makes a lot of sense to me. I'm less clear on the direct line between their other argument is that this would attract new employees.
Yeah, I'm not seeing that. So in 35 years, when you're done working, you'll get a break.
Yeah. And it's like, why wouldn't you just move to like once you're done working, what would stop you from just moving to a place that already has one of these things if that was the motivator versus I'm going to move there now for a benefit 20 or 30 years from now?
Yeah.
And so that's the only thing that I'm kind of like, well, I don't see the connection there, but I certainly think this is a good thing for retirees. And I don't know. I don't hate it.
it's almost hard to say that, isn't it? It's I don't hate a proposal. It's amazing. it's kind of amazing. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Paul from Kenosha is joining us. Good morning, Paul. What do you think?
Hi. I really question the logic of it because, you know, you could spin various hypotheticals like what if the population suddenly becomes significantly seniorized because industries are moving south and whatnot, then are you now having very little state income because you're not charging people who are retired, where you then have to make that up with, say, a sales tax, which is a very punitive, regressive tax? And also, I think you already touched on some of it, too. There needs to be kind of like a means test in there where it's like, okay, if you're making over $100,000, that's a ton of retirement income.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, so to exclude that first portion, I mean, half your population doesn't, you know, or more does not even make $100,000, and they all have to pay income tax. So why wouldn't you have someone who's making a six-figure income pay some degree of income tax on that?
It's a really good point. Thanks so much for the call, Paul. And he brings up a point that I'm still hesitant to bring up, but we're going to go there because I don't want this to come off as callous, but we already have a disproportionate aging population compared to other states. The country as a whole has an aging population. And our ratio of retirees to working people is quickly declining, right? And so I'm saying this as someone who, you know, people who are 67 and older, those are our parents, those are our grandparents. We love them very dearly. But from an economic standpoint, what is the argument for wanting like a robust retiring population? Because to me, if we incentivize people who are retiring or who are retirement age to live here, and we don't have aggressive policies to have working age people live here, that feels like a disaster waiting to happen when it comes to our healthcare system and our like our elderly care service, which is already
a mess.
And so like, if we don't have people and systems in place to take care of an aging population, is it a great idea to necessarily incentivize a growing or retaining that aging population?
Are you old and sick? Come to Wisconsin.
Yeah. We can't promise we can take care of you, exactly. But you don't have to pay taxes.
Well, you don't have to pay. Exactly. So there's the perk. Might be living, be staying under a bridge, but you know, it'll be a bridge.
Well, and so that's kind of what I see is this. And I think the quote from the Journal Sentinel article that talked about this is talking about how much people who are retired, you know, they spend money on restaurants or housing or in their community. And by keeping these retirees in Wisconsin, we will see an economic benefit, which is sure. But that's an argument for population, period, right? Like,
sure.
It's not, I don't know if people who are retired spend a disproportionate, like, more of their income on spending it in their communities than any of us do when we're going to restaurants and going to theater and doing just living our lives, right?
Well, I get the feeling that they have this image of this 67 to 71 year old person looks like the Golden Bachelor.
Yes.
That's who they're shooting for, and that's who they think we're going to attract with this. Not the actual 67 or 71 year old who has pre-existing conditions, who needs care, who may need hospice ultimately. And so I think there's a lot to work out yet on this.
And maybe, and we got a comment on the YouTube live stream from Michael Hitpass. He comments a lot. I don't know if I pronounce his last name correctly, though. He says $100,000 is too high. Most people don't make $100,000 while they're working, much
Seriously.
Less in retirement.
Seriously.
So maybe the goalpost is not correct right now, as far as especially if it's already your Social Security and military earnings and stuff like that's already not being taxed. I'm so far away from retirement that, like, I don't know what people are typically making, like, once they're taking payments out and from their plans and plus with Social Security, plus whatever investments, and like what the average retired person, what their budget looks like every month.
Right.
So that's why I would love to hear from people who, you know, maybe are already retired or are much closer to it than obviously I am, of how would this impact you? 844-967-2789. You know, especially for people who are snowbirds who are, you know, thinking about leaving and leaving Wisconsin, like, does this change anything? But also the bigger question of, without being callous, but is it good for an economy to attract and retain an aging population without having a plan to have people there to take care of them?
It's not callous.
Is that not offensive? Okay. I'm just making sure. I'm not trying to be ageist here.
I would tell you.
Thank you, Jane. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to keep the conversation going, take your calls and your text messages, and give away two more Brewers tickets. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Certainly was in the right.
Three, four, one, two.
Let me tell you how it will be. There's one for you, 19 for me.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair, and we are having the discussion about a new proposal in the Wisconsin legislature that would make basically your retirement plans tax-free for people who are 67 or older, and getting your thoughts on whether or not this is a good idea, if it's a good idea for the economy, if it's a good idea for you personally. 844-967-2789. And we want to make sure that we get to your text and your calls. But before we do that, we do have two more tickets for the Brewers that we're giving away. And so I want to set that up as well. The tickets are for Saturday's game at 6:15 p.m. against the Atlanta Braves. And a reminder that you can always hear the Brewers by tuning into Civic Media's flagship Brewer station, Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 FM and 1100 AM throughout the Fox Valley. And you can also catch the Brewers on WRCE News from the Center in Richland Center, 107.7 FM, 1450 AM. So at the end of this segment, I will give the next trivia question. It's about the Braves. So get your fingers ready.
And your
Google fingers ready as well. So we will give that away in the next 6 minutes. But do we have a call?
We do.
About the topic at hand?
We do. 844-967-2789. Rob, our friend from Port Edwards. Good morning, Rob. What do you think about this proposal?
Good morning. The conspiracy theorist in me thinks it's a good way for the Republican Party to gin up the base. If you start to turn the state into Florida, okay, the one of the earlier callers was right on as far as the tax base. You know, if you have these retirees and they're knocking down serious money on retirement, they're not going to be paying the taxes. That money has to come from someplace. Red, property tax bills, well, that's not going to fly. So now you're going to go to maybe wheel tax, but for sure sales tax. And that's going to hurt a lot of folks that are down at the low end. I just retired. I'm going to be 68. I have 50 years of labor hard in. And so I'm just doing Social Security and my small city of Milwaukee pension. And I don't pay taxes. So this bill to me is transparent. It doesn't matter. I don't make $100,000 a year. And so all they're going to do is bring folks in that don't want to pay taxes. They aren't going to vote for people that want to improve infrastructure, education, mass transit, those things that really are going to make the state stand up proud. No, they're going to want to be in their fishing boats and in their, you know, leisurely deck sipping Mai Tais and not spending any tax money, right? That's my thought. It may sound conspiracy slighted, but it's pretty obvious.
We have a text that kind of goes along with what you just said, Rob, too. If you want to check in, thanks a lot, Rob. 844-967-2789 from the 414. As a retiree, I obviously don't have a problem paying less in taxes, but I wonder if this isn't pandering to a group that has voted strongly Republican and is now starting to realize that Republicans really aren't working for them and considering alternatives. It may sound like I don't trust Republicans. Yeah, you got that right.
That's super interesting. I mean, it's interesting to have people who are retired, exactly, both Rob and the texter, be like, well, this doesn't really affect me
It's like the Republican tax cut for the wealthiest people. This is a break for rich people.
This is a break for people who are retired, who've planned well.
Yes. Or inherited well.
That is also true. Because it's interesting, simultaneously, I knew that I wanted to talk about this, but I saw in there's an Axios poll out of how many people feel like younger people feel like retirement is just out of reach.
Never going to happen.
And so this was a survey conducted this month. And so 80% of respondents agreed that the point of working hard your adult life is to have a nice retirement. But only 49% said they feel like they're getting by and they feel like they're just getting by and unable to save for retirement. And I mean, I've seen numbers for people who are like my age, like you should be expected to have at least $2 million saved by the time I retire, by the time like I'm 60 in my 60s, late 60s, that like Mike and I should be preparing, if not more than that, to have like $1 to $2 million saved.
Wow. How are you at saving, my friend?
We're getting there. I would say, like, for me, I am back on course. Like, I did really well in my 20s in saving when I was working in tech and making money.
Yep.
And then for about 4 years when I was like, I want to be a content creator.
Yeah, let's do that.
and trying to work my way into figuring out what that actually meant, I was certainly not saving and just making enough to, like, pay my bills.
Yep.
And now with a steady job, like I'm back to the point where I'm doing pretty well at saving 10% of everything I make.
Good for you.
Which is great. But I'm also, you know, like, I don't know if that's enough to have $1 million 30 years from now.
Much less 2 million.
Yeah. And so, you know, in reality, there is a lot of people who they just think of, they know they should, but it is not necessarily realistic based on how much they're making and how much cost of living is.
Exactly.
So, all right. Well, before we go to break, I want to put out the trivia question. So if you know the answer to this, you can win tickets for Saturday night's Brewers game against the Atlanta Braves. This is the question. Many of us know that the Braves were in Milwaukee before they were in Atlanta, But what city were they in before they were in Milwaukee? So what city were the Braves in before they came to Milwaukee? 844-967-2789. If you know the answer, you got two tickets for you with your name on it for Saturday night's game against the Atlanta Braves at 6:15. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Because I'm the tax man. Yeah, I'm the tax man. And you're working for no one but me.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair. And before we get to the headlines, the good, the bad, and the interview of the year, we are asking a trivia question for someone to win the two Brewers tickets for Saturday's game at 6:15 p.m. against the Atlanta Braves. And the question is, many of us know that the Braves were in Milwaukee before they were in Atlanta, but what city were they in before they were in Milwaukee?
844-967-2789 is the number. Tom from Mount Pleasant is joining us. Good morning, Tom. What is your answer?
And I didn't cheat, and I hope I'm right. Boston.
Boom! You did not cheat, and you were right. That is correct. The Braves were founded in Boston in 1871, as originally they were the Red Stockings. But by 1912, they were known as the Boston Braves. And then there you go. So good job. Congratulations. Who are you going to take to the game?
Well, thank you. Thank you. And so my father played for the St. Louis Brown Stockings.
Oh, wow.
And that was originally. Yep. So baseball is my life. 55 years.
Oh, that's really cool. Gosh. That is really
that
cool,
is-
Tom.
That is very cool. Well, yeah, that is correct. Do you have someone that you're going to take to the game this weekend?
Well, I'm going to have to spin the bottle, you know.
Well, I hope you enjoy. The tickets are they're on the club level. They are great seats. It's very easy to get concessions when you're on the club level. And so when you go, don't forget to take a picture, tag Civic Media, tag us if you can. But I hope you have a great time, Tom.
And don't hang up, Tom, okay? I gotta get a little info from you, okay?
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tom. Well, there you go. Yeah. So they moved to Milwaukee in 1953 with a roster of star players like Hank Aaron, Eddie Matthews, and Warren Spahn. I don't know if I pronounced that right. The Milwaukee Braves won the World Series in 1957. Despite the team's success, fan attendance declined, and the club owners moved the team to Atlanta, Georgia in 1966, where they obviously have been ever since. So that congratulations to Tom. But moving on to headlines for the day, the good, the bad, and the interview of the year. So the good. Governor Evers, we've talked a lot about on this show the move to... for like the literacy issues that we have right now with our school-aged kids and the push to change how our public schools are teaching reading to more of a phonics-based lesson plan. And as of this week, Governor Evers has signed a sweeping reading literacy bill into law. So this is from WPR. Reading instruction for Wisconsin's youngest students will be revamped under a new law signed by Tony Evers on, this was yesterday. So the state's going to spend $50 million to create a new literacy office, hire reading coaches, and shift away from what has been known as balanced literacy to a science of reading approach. And so we've had Alan Borsick on the show a fair amount to talk about this. I know Quentin Claiborne we've talked about this with, but it's basically the difference of now being the kids will now be taught with more of an emphasis on phonics And that's more through teaching them how to sound out words and letters versus picture, like memorization and reading through pictures and word cues and context. And so I think this is a good thing. I mean, at least we're doing something. I've been kind of harping on the fact that it feels like when it comes to education, there's a lot of attention and prioritization on things that don't move the needle, like bathroom bills and, you know, what songs you can sing. And so this feels like something that actually is productive, and there's evidence as far as what could make the difference when it comes to reading and reading comprehension. So I think that this is a good thing. Now, the bad. So this is something that is budget related, which, you know, the budget has been signed into law. We're moving forward. There's, you know, it's done. And there was a lot of talk about the things that didn't make it into the budget as far as what was proposed for Tony Evers' proposal originally. You know, there was like 500 different things that right off the bat were cut. And we've talked a lot about how different the Tony Evers' proposal was compared to what the Republicans wanted to sign. And this one is something I don't quite understand why it didn't make it in. So, you know, Wisconsin is largely a state of small towns and cities. And we've talked a lot about the shared revenue bill, and that is, you know, that wasn't, it was separate from the budget, but it did get done. So there is more money that's going back to small communities, which is good. But, you know, Wisconsin's small communities could be getting more money from, like, there's billions of federal dollars allocated to infrastructure and renewable energy projects, like upgrading drinking water systems, which we know is a big deal because of PFAS across our state, or like purchasing electric buses, or like there is a lot of money out there from like the infrastructure bill. But the but it takes applying for grants to get some of that money.
And that's a complicated process from what I understand.
I've never applied for a grant. And I think it's largely because I'm like, every time I've ever looked at an application, I'm going to like, this seems really hard. And like your imposter syndrome gets in there. You're like, I'm not going to do this.
But that's a job. Isn't grant writing a job?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. There is like at many nonprofits, like that is a job for a specific person, like knowing how to apply for these grants. And if you think about the amount of towns and villages that we have across the state that are, you know, population 5,000 people and less, let alone like 1,000 people and less, they don't necessarily have the resources to have someone dedicated to figuring out like the very like time-consuming application process. So originally, and I don't know how this is like, I got this from Wisconsin Watch, and this was only reported on recently, but in Tony Evers' proposal, he had a proposal in there for $960,000. So less than $1 million, less money than we are now giving the Packers to host the draft, which I'm in favor of, but I'm just saying to put into context of this is not that much money.
No.
And it was basically a creation of a 5-person resource team to help local governments identify and apply for federal and state grants. So it's basically the salaries for people who would help all these different towns,
these grant writers,
get money for projects in their towns. And it was just flat out rejected by the Joint Finance Committee. And with no, like, there's, and in it, there was no comment from any of the Republicans who rejected it of like, why?
Why?
And that just feels like most of these guys represent small towns or smaller towns that could benefit from a grant writing proposal team that like is a resource for the entire state to get access to funds that could help their communities that's outside of, you know, the general fund for Wisconsin. And I'm just so confused as to why this isn't a thing, especially when there is a lot of money out there to be
had.
And
it's almost like they don't care about these smaller towns and villages. And I am curious why more people who live in these communities who need assistance from the state and the federal government aren't contacting their lawmakers with regularity.
Yeah.
And I know it's an endless frustration, and you probably only even get to leave a voicemail, if that, but that's the only way things are ever going to change, is for people to speak up and talk to your electeds about what you want them to do, not what they want to do, because they know better than you.
Yeah. But it just feels like an example of something that feels like it should be a no-brainer. It's like, not, it was one, not that much money. Like the investment versus what the potential return on that, as far as paying five people to be an expert resource for towns across the state to then access more money for projects. Like, I just don't understand that calculus of like, nah, that doesn't seem like a good investment.
Yeah, too much. No, we're not going to spend that. That's fine.
But the $10 million for the RNC, which is now only $1 million, but you know, that was a better use of money. All right. Finally, interview of the year? ? So from the same YouTuber who brought you the Kia Boys documentary, which has more than 6.8 million views on YouTube, comes a hard-hitting interview with none other than U.S. Senator Ron Johnson.
Ron Johnson talked to
indeed
this
Tommy G
filmmaker. Okay.
So I will give credit where credit is due. The Journal Sentinel did write this up, Bill Glauber and Lawrence Andrea, but I did hear this on Devil's Advocates yesterday. They were talking about this, and I was like, wait, what? So this is a guy, sorry, I have his YouTube up. So this is a guy, Tommy G, who on his YouTube says, I make the craziest documentaries on YouTube. He has 800,000 subscribers. And I think he came on a lot of people's radar last year when he made a YouTube video what he calls a documentary.
Not a documentary.
Of hanging out with Kia Boys in Milwaukee. Who are stealing cars. And, you know, he did, and it went mega viral. Like I said, it has like 6 million views. But I think specifically in Milwaukee, there was a lot of debate over the fact that here's this kid, despite all of the journalists that we are employed in the Milwaukee area, who got such access to these kids that is like wreaking havoc on the city, and how he got them to talk to him. And it was, you know, it was kind of a big deal as far as what he made with that. So now he's gone to DC in the attempt to investigate corruption in Washington, D.C., and it featured only one lawmaker, Ron Johnson.
Wow.
Because Ron Johnson was the only member of Congress who agreed to an interview.
Boy, Ron's looking for any outlet except for civic media, right?
I guess. Well, he used to go on the Devils, I guess, with some frequency.
Not anymore.
But it's a 20-minute documentary. We'll link it in today's show notes if you're interested. But a lot of the questions are, you know, they're about Jeffrey Epstein. They're about who actually killed JFK.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, tapping into
hard-hitting,
a little bit of the hard-hitting
current
stuff,
topics and issues.
And, you know, not surprisingly, Ron Johnson did say it's certainly possible that the government was involved in the JFK assassination, and that he is it's certainly very fishy about the death of Jeffrey Epstein, and that we should look into that more. And that, you know, he actually thinks that Robert F. Kennedy is a remarkable character, and they share a lot of views about the coronavirus pandemic. So
that's good to know.
There you go. Tommy G asking the hard questions of Ron Johnson on his new Investigating Corruption in Washington, D.C. documentary. All right. When we come back, three headlines and a lie. Jane, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. We'll be back in a minute. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair. And we are going to play our weekly game of three headlines and a lie.
All right.
So three of these headlines are real and one is fake. So we're going to see if Jane can spout out the fake one. You are always welcome to play along at home and see if you know which one is real and which one is fake. So, Jane, are you ready?
Let's do it.
All right. So number one, sea turtles have 3,000-year-old routines.
Hmm. So they go to the same.
I have no more information than that.
go to the same seaweed patch. Okay. Sea turtles have habits they follow for thousands of years.
Thousands of years.
Okay.
3,000 years.
3,000 years. Okay.
All right. Number two, expect more fish with human-like teeth as a result of extreme heat waves.
Now, I know that there was a fish that was recently found, I think, in a pond in Florida that had human-like teeth. But this was some exotic animal, again, that some knucklehead released after they didn't want it in their fish tank anymore. So I'm okay. That's all right. That's the second one. I am not feeling solid on this today.
All right. Number three, Wiz Khalifa throws out first pitch at Pirates game while on shrooms.
Okay.
I wonder how good his aim was.
Maybe it improved.
All right. And number four, virtual pet website Neopets plans $4 million comeback.
These are tough. Usually I feel I have a better grasp on the news.
All right. I will read all four again.
All right.
Number one, sea turtles have 3,000-year-old routines. Number two, expect more fish with human-like teeth as a result of extreme heat waves.
Oh, freaky.
Number three. It's like, I'm trying to imagine. Sometimes I've seen photoshops of like babies and they give them like a full smile or like
with
real eyebrows,
teeth.
Like an adult's eyebrows. You're like, God, that looks weird. Number three, Wiz Khalifa throws out first pitch at Pirates game while on shrooms. And number four, virtual pet website Neopets plans $4 million comeback.
All right. I'm going with the sea turtles is the one that's true.
That is true. You're trying to guess the one that's fake.
Oh, rats. And here I thought I had it all locked up, Kristen. One of those.
So many times.
I know. There's a lot going on in here.
I know.
Okay. Sea turtle is true. Wiz Khalifa is probably true. I'm going with the lie is the fish with the teeth.
Ding, 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 ding.
Really?
You got it right. Yes. That one is fake.
Wow.
The other three are real, though. But yeah, so no, you don't, at least for now. I would like to hear more about this other random story you found with a fish with human-like teeth.
Yeah, that was just freaky. I think it was in Florida. I'll see what I can find.
Of course it was in Florida.
Well, everything, right? Everything happens in Florida.
But yes, sea turtles have 3,000-year-old routines. Marine reptiles visit the same foraging grounds millennium after millennium. So there you go.
Oh, it was in Oklahoma.
It was in Oklahoma.
It was in Oklahoma, a pond in Oklahoma. Oh, my God, Mom. I thought he was just being dramatic. Mom said in the, this is the neighborhood pond. We're used to catching bass or catfish. Nothing like human-like teeth. Charlie landed a pacu, a fish that is the cousin of the piranha and whose outsized teeth have struck fear in swimmers. It's a native of South America, but we're swimming in this pond in Oklahoma City.
Oh, they are really ugly.
Yes, they are very ugly. Except to other pacu, I'm sure.
I'm sure they're very attractive to other pacu, but
they really do look like like human teeth on the bottom. It's freaky.
Yeah. If you want to look it up, it's PACU, a pacu fish. Pretty ugly.
Yeah.
If I gotta, you know, sorry, but you know, call a spade a spade. All right. And then yes, indeed, Wiz Khalifa throws out first pitch at Pirates game while on shrooms.
Not a surprise.
Shroomed out throw quote, shroomed out throwing a baseball is crazy. So that one is true. And then yes, Neopets, which I've never heard of, but virtual pet. Pet website Neopets is planning a comeback. Launched in 1999 by British developers, the site let users care for cartoon pets, chat, and play games. But after Viacom bought it for $160 million in 2005, the site failed to keep up with the times and many elements stopped working. Now, Neopets is promising a new era with $4 million of funding to remake the site and bring back 50 classic games on July 25th. You think they're going to bring it back Tamagotchis?
I don't think so.
That was probably, you probably never.
I was way too old.
That was,
I was
way
too
old. For Tamagotchis.
Yeah, no.
But, so there you go. So that is three headlines and a lie. And you nailed it.
I am really, it was tough. This week was tough. Like I said, I usually feel like I'm better plugged in into odd news, but some of those got away from me. So it was a good guess. It was a good guess.
It was a good guess.
Yeah.
All right. Well, here's your daily reminder that indeed we are still doing civic media, our blood donation challenge. So as a reminder that if you, all you have to do is sign up to donate blood anywhere in Wisconsin.
That's convenient for you.
That's convenient for you.
Yep.
Take a selfie of you donating blood. Post it on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, using the hashtag #CivicPints, and you get entered to win many prizes, either Milwaukee Brewers tickets. We have Wisconsin State Fair tickets. We have swag bags of Civic Media merch. But also you just get to be a good person and help out with the shortage, the massive blood shortage that we have in Wisconsin right now, and do it for me because I found out that I cannot donate blood while pregnant. And so
you're standing for Kristen,
standing for me, because I would if I could, but I can't. So just a reminder, that is actually, we've actually extended that into August, because fun fact, even though the FDA has changed guidelines for men who have sex with men to now be able to donate, some of the blood donation centers are a little behind on their questions that they need to ask. So that changes for the Red Cross on August 7th. So we're extending this so more people can be included. All right, we're going to take a break for the top of the hour news. When we come back, public service announcement. This is As Goes Wisconsin.